want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And man, am I frustrated with myself. I had prepared for Friday's broadcast to say, 10-4, good buddy, 10-4. And I forgot all about it. And, oh, I just hate missing opportunities for just social pithyisms, statements. I don't even know if pithyism is a word or not. If it isn't, it is now. So I was just looking for something quirky to say and had it planned to say and forgot all about it. I don't want to forget to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete today. 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need block or concrete work done, give them a call. They have decades of experience, hard working, I mean, great work ethic. You're not going to have to be calling them and saying, hey, where are you? In fact, the very first project that was ever done at Merritt Assembly of God that I wasn't actually on site to supervise was a job that Jits Concrete had done for us at the church. And I came back and it was like, this is wonderful. I mean, I was excited for the great work that they did. And I was also excited to know that I didn't have to be there. I mean, it was like this great enlightening moment for me in my ministry. If you would like a great contractor to work with when it comes to block or concrete work, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. So we're going to get into the Word of God. We're not going to be talking about, I mean, I've still got pages and pages of references that deal with thou shalt not lie. That's what we've been talking about as we've been going through this deliver us from evil. I'm not going to, you know, exhaustively go through every one of them, but I will discuss several of them here. So we're going to go back to Revelation today, back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I know it's here. There it is. Verse number 22. Revelation chapter 21, 22. And it says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So here we are talking about this new kingdom that is being established. We've talked about earlier in chapter 21 that all liars would have their part in the lake of fire. But from verse number 9, it talks about the new Jerusalem that is coming down. And it, as part of this new creation, and when you look at this, you have to think back to Genesis. At least I do. I go back to Genesis where everything was absolutely, absolutely perfect, but there was one tree that was there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam and Eve were specifically commanded, do not touch that tree. Do not touch that tree. I mean, they were to avoid that. And yet with that one temptation, the one thing in all of creation, think about how massive the earth is, how many beautiful things that there are to see. I mean, there's beautiful things above ground. There are beautiful things in the water. There are just majestic sights. My computer, every time I turn it on, it is showing me a new picture from someplace around the world. And it says, you know, do you like this, you know? And so it just shows me a wide array of pictures, and some of them, they don't really do that much for them. Some of them are breathtakingly beautiful. And I mean, all of that beauty that exists in creation, and Adam and Eve were told, don't touch one tree. You would think that that would be the easiest thing in the world to do, but it was just too much for them. They fell victim and were susceptible to the deception of the serpent. And so now when we bring that lying serpent caused such horrific damage to come to God's creation. Now we look at this new creation, this new heaven, this new earth, this new Jerusalem. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. The foundations are made of the most precious stones that you can imagine. The 12 gates are 12 pearls. There's another sermon there about that. Let me just touch on that for just a moment. A pearl is formed when there's a small impurity that gets inside of a shell. And when that shell, or when that grain of sand gets in there, it becomes an irritant to that oyster. And the oyster will coat that irritant with a thing called mother of pearl, and it will provide a soothing of that irritant, and then eventually that coating gets hard and it becomes an irritation, so it coats again. And so these pearls are formed with this constant application of this material that makes the irritations of life bearable. It you know, and all of the while it is growing. And when I see these 12 pearls that are used in the 12 gates, I think about all of the grace that has gone into making the things that are so irritating about living in a fallen world, sickness and disease and pain and broken relationships and poverty and just, you know, horrific war and all of that. And the grace of God just keeps coating and keeps coating and keeps coating. And he says, you know what, in this new city, we're going to have the gates of this city formed out of these pearls that testify that the grace of God was able to overcome every irritant that fallen humanity experienced while on earth. I see the greatness of God in just that one little detail. You know, y'all could think I'm off the wall, and that's okay. Hopefully, if I'm off the wall, I'm on the floor. But you know, I just look at that God makes something beautiful, that which the devil intended for evil, God turns around and causes it to be a blessing that's going to be something good. Anyway, The street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Verse number 22, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. It says the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord illuminated it. Drop down to verse number 24. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. So there's going to be a completely different lifestyle that goes on in this new creation. We're going to walk in the light of the Lamb of God. The glory of God is going to illuminate it. The Lamb is its light. So it's going to be a glorious lifestyle. It's not going to be a lifestyle that's constantly bombarded with a bunch of negative surprises or anything like that. There's going to be full revelation. There's going to be full illumination. There's not going to be any negative. There's not going to be anything negative there whatsoever. Says in verse number 26, and the glory, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So it says, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles. There are going to be things that are excluded from heaven. Nothing, there is not going to be anything permitted into heaven that is going to be cause a defilement or cause an abomination or a lie. And so this was actually a very enlightening study as I was diving into it. That word defile means anything that profanes, anything that is common, that defiles, that is unclean or unholy. So there's not, I mean, it is going to be a completely spiritually sanitary environment. There is not going to be any negative. There's not going to be that one tree that you've got to avoid. It's not going to be permitted in. This is a restricted, heaven is a restricted access community, not because we are perfect, but because we are forgiven. But with that forgiveness, there should also be a desire that says, I have no desire, no drive whatsoever to profane the name of the Lord. I don't intend to reduce that which is holy down to that which is common. I'm certainly not wanting to contaminate the place. I certainly don't want to bring anything into this environment that is unclean. So that is excluded. That's why we've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I remember going to a military retirement ceremony. It was an Air Force retirement ceremony out in Colorado. I was asked to come out and be a part of it. And when I went out there, even though the government works for us, the government says, this is a restricted access community. That's why when earlier this year people were talking about they were going to storm, Area 51 and all of that sort of stuff, there was a person that made a joke about it. Well, it became a movement. And then, you know, people said, you know, I don't think this is a good idea after all. There is such a restricted access. There's such high levels of security. Now, you've got to remember, this goes back over 10 years when I was there. And when you went in, and they weighed you. They searched your belongings. The weighing thing was pretty interesting. And they had a keypad that was like no other keypad that you will ever experience. You know, they would give you a code that to get into the facility, and that code had a limited time frame on it, and it wasn't long. And the keypad was constantly changing. It wasn't changing shapes, just the numbers were in different places all of the time. And I don't know how many different combinations you could get that way. But it was security like I had never seen, security like you would never see on Mission Impossible or Jason Bourne or any of that sort of stuff. This, they wanted you to know, hey, you are here. You are here in a restricted access area. And we're going to make sure that you're not bringing anything in. And they also made you go through those procedures when you went out. You had to weigh within a certain amount of dimensions. I don't know if it was ounces or pounds. You had to weigh within a certain degree, certain variable range there of what you weighed when they came in. They knew, they kept record of how much you weighed when you went in. It's like, man, and this isn't even, you know, one of the upper echelons. Well, I mean, I guess it could be. I don't know all of the military, you know, categories and stuff like that. But it created a great deal of, man, I want to do things the way that they want me done here. I don't want to violate this. I want them to open the gate so I can get out. That's where I was in that process. Well, God says, this new heaven, this new earth, this new Jerusalem, it is restricted access, not because he wanted anyone kept out because he didn't like them. They are not allowed entrance in, even though he paid the price for them to come in, because they chose profane, unholy, defiling elements to their life. And he says, I'm sorry, but that can't come in. My father worked on a semiconductor chip plant. And he described the access that he had to go through just to get in there to make these computerized chips. They would make them put on special outfits, and before you went in to put your outfit on, they you know, made sure that there were no contaminants. They were so fixated on making sure that there were no contaminants in that area. Listen, we're talking about eternity. The chips that were made at that plant now are obsolete. They have no purpose. You can't find anybody that wants to buy them because technology changes so fast. How much more important is heaven? Heaven is a holy place. And I will tell you this. I know I talked about the pearls and the foundations and the translucent streets, translucent gold streets and all of that. The thing that makes heaven heaven is the fact that Jesus is there. That's the ultimate goal. To getting to heaven, as far as I can tell it in the scripture, is I'm not so much avoiding hell as I am embracing Jesus. So there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination. So I went back and reminded myself of that and broke down the word that's translated abomination. It means anything that makes disgusting or is detestable or stinks to idolatry. There is not going to be anything in that new heaven, new earth, this new Jerusalem, that is going to have any other focus than making sure that Jesus is exalted to the highest place. Have you ever gone into a room and you said, something does that, you'll never say that about heaven? A few weeks ago, somebody was having discussion because one of the things that you almost always hear at church is it's too hot, it's too cold, whatever. You know, you can actually have that going on at the same time. Same temperature, one person come up and say it's too cold, the other person say it's too hot. It might not be the room at that point in time. It might be the person who's responding to that. And somebody said, I wonder how long it's going to take before somebody says that heaven is too hot or it's too cold. And that's not going to be a problem. Okay. So I got a big chuckle there, but it's not going to be a thing, because heaven is not going to be about, you know, my idiosyncrasies or anything like that. It's going to be a comfortable place, because Jesus is going to take this mortal body, this corruptible body, and he's going to make it incorruptible, immortal. It's not going to be about us. It is going to be about Jesus. And the other thing that it says here is, or causes an abomination or a lie. Or a lie. Now, I got to find my piece of paper here, because it was really interesting what was going on. And please tell me that I haven't gone off and set that aside someplace. But that word, and it looks like I failed to pick up that piece of paper to bring it in here. Oh, the last time you think I'm perfect was a long, long time ago. Anyway, the word there is pseudo. Pseudo. It's the word which we would use to get things like pseudonym out of. It's something that whenever you see it, you know that it is something that is false. It is not true. And I looked at that. Here it is. It is untrue. It is erroneous. It is wicked. It is deceitful. Okay? So there is not going to be anything in heaven that is untrue. There's not going to be anything in heaven that is erroneous. There's not going to be anything in heaven that is wicked or is deceitful. And the thing that I had written down described all of it was the list from the Strong's Concordance that all begins with pseudo. And so you will find that there are false apostles. There are people who look like apostles, look like they're sent by God, but they're not. They're false apostles. Talks about that there are false brothers. There are people who come in and they act like your brother. They think that you're their brother, but they don't have the same connection to the Father that you and I have. There are false teachings. Doctrines that are out of word. It's actually a pseudo logos is the word that came up on the concordance. They come preaching a false word. There were false teachers, and you know, related to false teachings, but false teachers. There were also false Christ. There's pseudo Christos was the way it said it in the concordance. And that means that they come claiming to be the Messiah, but they are not the Messiah. There's not going to be any of that deception. There was a list of about 12 or 15 different things there. One of them was very, very closely related to our word pseudonym. It meant that they had a false name. I want you to know that the only thing that is going to be granted access, the only creation going to be granted access in this new Jerusalem, is those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And unlike me, who can omit some things and leave things on their desk that they shouldn't have left on their desk, God's book is absolutely perfect. It has got no flaws, no omissions, no extra strokes of the pen or anything like that. Everything that you find in heaven is going to be absolutely, totally holy and totally perfect. And the only way that we get there is to have our sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And every person that's hearing the sound of my voice is capable of receiving that forgiveness and having Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. All you have to do is ask. And the devil hates that more than anything when someone asks, Lord Jesus, would you please forgive me of my sins and enable me to live the way that you've always wanted me to do? So he will tell you things like this. God hates you and God doesn't hate you. He loves you. He will tell you, you've sinned too much, as if the blood is incapable of washing away your sins. I want you to know today that you have not sinned too much, that Jesus is still willing and able to forgive you of your sins, that your sin was too great, that there's just no way that he could possibly forgive you, not because of the quantity, but because of the egregious nature of the things that you've done. And when you boil it all down to that, and I've had people tell me, God can't forgive me. God can't forgive me. I want you to know that that is a lie from the pit of hell that flies in the face of the truth of God's word that says, if any will confess his sins, that God is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and forgive us of our unrighteousness. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. Let me just read it to you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The other thing that people say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Jesus, when they said, you know, good master, he said, whoa, 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 whoa. Why do you call me good? He wasn't denying that he was good. He said, why do you call me good? He said, there is none good but God. The only thing that is good in me, the only thing that is good in you is those things that have been birthed by the Spirit of the living God inside of us. And that only happens when we've asked Jesus to forgive us and be our Savior and our Lord. Today, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Jesus would like to write it there. Would you say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord, and I look forward to spending eternity with you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.